And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then finally the end will come. I was thinking today just what you would read about if you would get out a file of newspapers for the last 50 years and see what the world has called the significant events during that time. I have no doubt in the annals of heaven that one of the most significant events of the last half century has been the explosion of Bible translation, which has brought the Word of God to hundreds of tribes and languages. And much of this is because of the vision and genius of Cameron Townsend. He was a university dropout with an urgent desire to serve the Lord wherever the Lord should lead him. And this should encourage many of you that are thinking about going into this type of ministry, that God can take a dedicated heart and consecrate it to His service and shake the world. You have to face squarely if your talents and your gifts and your training prepare you for Christian service. In fact, it might be said that Jesus only had two verbs: come and go. Come unto me and go into all the world. Go out quickly into the streets and into the lanes. Go out into the highways and hedges. Go into the vineyard. Go into the village. Go into the city. Go into the town. Go to the lost sheep. Go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Go, 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 go. Go ye into all the world. If you profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have that command, and you have to face it. You have to do something about it. We have been commanded to deliver a message to every one of the 4 billion people who live on this planet, and especially the hidden peoples with no written language. And we have a responsibility to see that every language has the Word of God written in it.
The history of Wycliffe begins with a man that Billy Graham mentioned in the video there. His name is William Cameron Townsend. It was in 1917 when he went to Guatemala to sell Spanish Bibles among the people. But he quickly learned that not everyone there could read or understand Spanish fully, and so he soon gave up selling Bibles, and he decided that he needed to translate Bibles. A friend of his was from the Cachiquel people, and so he decided to spend the next 10 years living among the Cachiquel people, learning their language, creating an alphabet for them because they didn't even have a written language, understanding the grammar, and then translating the Bible in the New Testament. It took him 10 years to do so. And it was some years after this that he and 3 associates founded Wycliffe Bible Translators, whose vision is that God's Word be made accessible to all people in a language that speaks to their heart. They've been doing this for over 75 years now. And these pictures up here, these are mannequins from the Wycliffe Discovery Center in Orlando, but these represent people groups who have received the scriptures in their heart language because of the work of Wycliffe. This is the Western Cachiquel in Guatemala. You can see they received their New Testament in 1986, the full Bible. The Old Testament was completed in 2008, and they have 7,000 people in their among their people group. You have the Livy Karelian in Western Russia, population 25,000 souls. You have the Fari Fari of Ghana, population 845,000, and we'll skip through these quickly now. Tatar in Western Russia, 5.3 million people. Kanso, 195,000, a language that's too sensitive to mention in South Asia, population 10,000. The Arap Sisano in Papua New Guinea, still awaiting their New Testament, 1,100 people. The Taboli in the Philippines, 95,000. The Atie in Cote d'Ivoire, 381,000 people. North Quechua in Peru, 60,000. And finally, we have the Bibleless peoples. Did you know that now, because of the work of Bible translation, we know that there are about 7,000 languages in the world? It's a staggering figure. But did you also know that there's only about 10% of those languages that have a full Bible? And there's 1,600 languages in the world left today that have zero scripture in their language, and they don't have a translation project started yet. Since we've joined Wycliffe, one of the questions that I've found a reasonable question I've been asked a couple times is, do we really need a Bible in every single language? Can't they just read it in a second language, a trade language? Can't they just learn English or something like that? It's a reasonable question, but we've been blessed to be able to hear so many stories recently of the transformative power of God's word when it's put into a language that speaks to people's hearts. One example is in Cameroon. There's a people group there that speaks Yambeta, and their national language is French. So every year for Holy Week, their priest would read the crucifixion account in French, year after year. Well, one year, Pastor Leonard, he was there among this congregation. He had some translated scriptures of the crucifixion account in Yambeta, the people's heart language. And so he stood up this year for the first time and read the scriptures in the language that their mothers speak to them in their homes. Ladies in the congregation began to weep. They were all quiet and hushed and listening and attentive. They came up to Pastor Leonard afterward, many of them weeping, and they said, "Where did you find this story?" He said, We've been reading this year after year. And they said, "No, there's a man who loves us so much that he's willing to die for us, to be crucified, to save us. Where did you find this story?" And he opened his French New Testament. He said, "You know this story." And they insisted. They've never heard it before. So it was on that day that Pastor Leonard decided that he needed to dedicate his life to translating the Bible into his people's heart language.
As Todd mentioned, we've heard several stories through our training in Orlando and even since then about, you know, the transformative impact of having the Bible in a people's heart language. And one of the quotes and stories that stuck with me the most from our time in Orlando was about a woman who was comparing having the Bible in her national language and having it in her heart language. And she describes it this way. "It used to be like eating a banana with the peel still on, as you can see Noah doing. But now, after getting it in her heart language, it's like eating a banana that's peeled. It's delicious. I can't get enough of it." And this is the impact that Scripture, having it in their heart language, is having all across the world. And it's been very inspiring for us to hear these stories. And even as you heard with Pastor Leonard, he felt in that moment that he heard these people being moved by the crucifixion story that he needed to be part of Bible translation. And it was just that very distinct moment. For Todd and I, it was a little different. There wasn't one moment, but rather a series of moments where we felt the Lord kind of leading us along the way and showing us his plan for us. So prior to, being married, we had both been on mission trips, been a part of different international ministry, and we felt the Lord stirring our heart for the nations, for people of other cultures, people of other languages. And we knew that we wanted missions to be part of our story as a family and as a couple. But when we got married, we weren't sure what that would look like. We had various passions. Todd specifically really wanted to use his gift of teaching, his knowledge that he had gotten as he had done seminary. And he also really wanted to be able to pastor, disciple, and mentor. And I also wanted to be part of discipling and mentoring, especially furthering people's knowledge of Scripture. And we both wanted to use that somehow in missions, but we weren't sure as we sought out different mission opportunities. We hadn't seen the Lord really clicking those pieces together until we talked to Wycliffe.
Yeah, when I called Wycliffe, it was initially because on their website, they had tons of positions out in the field and here in the States, teaching, researching, training people. And I thought, hey, I don't know, maybe they could use my background. And so I called them, and they just immediately affirmed that in ways that other missions organizations that we'd talked to over the past 5 or 6 years had not. They said, you know, we actually have a lot of needs for teaching. And they looked in their system, and one of the schools they brought up was the Graduate Institute of Applied Linguistics in Dallas. They said, "We have 22 open academic positions here." I said, "You're kidding, you know?" And you know, when I went into PhD studies, someone told me it's usually about 140 people that apply for every job in a seminary or university. Hundreds of people. I thought, there's 22 open positions. They must really actually need help. And as we looked into it more, it just ended up being clear that God was leading us in this direction. It is a place where we can exercise kind of all three of our passions. You know, I'll be able to teach there and train students in research and write, be able to shepherd them and pastor them through the process. We can have them into our home and make sure we send them out to the field healthy and whole and prepared and equipped. And this is all for the sake of missions. You know, it's all for the sake of getting the Bible to the Bibleless. So as we consider this, we said we can definitely see why God is leading us in this direction. You know, every Wycliffe missionary that wants to go out to the field and actually do the work of translation and many of the supporting roles out there as well, like scripture engagement and different things, they've got to get academic training before they go. So they have to go to a school, and the Graduate Institute of Applied Linguistics is one of those main schools where Wycliffe will send students. to get that training. So they get training in Bible, in linguistics, so they understand how language works and how to do translation work, and they get trained for missions. So they asked me if I would come there to teach classes in Bible, biblical backgrounds, biblical languages, so that these students would really understand the Bible before they go and translate it. Some of them have had no academic training or biblical training at all, so they might be coming in with a blank slate, and we get to train them to understand the Bible better, so when they go out to do this work of translation, they're going to do it more effectively and more accurately.
So since knowing Todd's role, we've been really encouraged by a few stories that we've heard about the impact of effective training specifically. So if you'll remember Pastor Leonard, from the earlier story about the Yambeta people, he did begin that day in 1980 working on Bible translation, but he was still working full-time to support his family. So he was just working on it with a few other Yambeta people as he had free time. And he worked for 28 years that way, and they had drafted 35% of the New Testament. In 2008, a partner organization of Wycliffe was able to pick up that project. They provided funding that provided them with effective training, similar to what Todd will be doing at GIAL, and also provided them with a team of people, with some equipment. It provided for their living expenses so they could do it full time. And they were able to get the New Testament finished in the next 9 years. So after 28 years of doing it, with some partnership and with training, they were able to do it and complete the rest of it in just 9 years. So the Yambeta people now have a completed New Testament as of last year, which is really exciting. And this is the impact that effective training and partnership is having on Bible translation. Because of resources like this and because of people catching this vision, Bible translation is progressing more quickly than ever before. In the last century, it's increased exponentially. After William Cameron Townsend started training Bible translators in the 1930s, it took them about 67 years to get the first 500 New Testaments. For the next 500 New Testaments, it only took them 17 years. So we have a lot more tools and resources available to us, but there's still, as you can see, a great need for these languages to have the Bible. So we're working with a sense of urgency to see this task completed. And one of the things that excited and inspired Todd and I the most was the realization that we could really see the beginning and possibly the completion of all of these Bible translation projects within our lifetime. So as you can see, it's happening faster than ever before. And one of the reasons behind that is partnership. Wycliffe has partnered with organizations all across the world, and every Wycliffe missionary also has a team of partners that are accelerating and sustaining their ministry. So today, we want to invite each of you to be part of this vision of bringing the Bible to the Bible-less.
Now, I'm curious, have any of you ever had to learn a second language? Or you were supposed to learn a second language? Yeah. Yeah, you know, I had to learn Spanish for about 6 years in school. I was forced to do it, and I don't know about you, but I didn't like it. You know, I would sit through class, and I could understand a good deal of it, but a lot of it was really exhausting to try to understand the words. How do I produce this? By the end of every Spanish class, all I wanted to do was get out to the hallway where people were speaking a language that I could naturally understand and fully express myself in. But could you imagine only being able to hear God speak to you in a language that you found exhausting? Can you imagine hating reading the Bible because it's just too much work to understand the words? That's the situation for thousands of people still in the world and for the 1,600 people groups who don't even have a translation project started yet. So it's because of that and because every day people are dying without, some of them without hearing of the name of Jesus, some of them without having Bibles that they can fully understand, and some of them without having any scriptures that they can understand at all. So Wycliffe is, they train and they send missionaries, and they're doing that with urgency to try and speed this along to get God's word into every language that still needs one. And so, you know, Desi and I, we were really excited about when we learned about this transition that we were going to be able to get to stay here for a lot longer, about another year at the time, whenever we figured it out, and we're still able to be with so many of you and still serve here, and that it wasn't a quick transition. We're so happy about that, and that we still get to be a part of so many of your lives for quite a while now, still many months. But we are also on board with this mission of urgency that Wycliffe has to get God's word to his people. So to launch this ministry, this our Wycliffe ministry of teaching, Wycliffe requires that we have a fully developed prayer and financial partnership team. So that means that we're not allowed to start teaching there in Dallas until we have a solid enough prayer team, and we have enough financial partners to meet 100% of the budget that Wycliffe has set for us. So today we want to invite you to be part of Bible translation in three different ways. The first is that you can pray for us. We need this ministry soaked in prayer. We really do. And so out in the hallway, if you want to sign up to pray for us and be on our prayer team, we have a calendar. You can sign up for a specific day of the month to pray for us, and we will reciprocate that and pray for you. Or if you don't want to be restricted to a specific day of the month, you can sign up on this general sheet. We'll put you on our monthly newsletter, and you can pray for us whenever you think of us. Secondly, we want to invite you to consider whether our Wycliffe ministry to train Bible translators would be a good missions and investment for your family. Our most pressing financial need at this point is to get enough monthly or recurring financial partners to sustain our ministry for the long haul and to meet that budget that Wycliffe has set for us. So all of that budget has to come from our own financial partners. So for information on how to partner financially with us, you can come to the table out in the lobby. We'll have a computer set up, and then we have these brochures called Invitation to Partnership. If you want to mail in a financial commitment, there's a tear-off flap in this. We can show you how to do that. We'll also have a computer. There's an online website through Wycliffe that you can sign up for that, and it's very easy. Now, thirdly, if you're, I know a lot of you are invested in a lot of different things, so if your bandwidth is a little bit exceeded and you don't feel like you can make a commitment to pray for us or to be able to give financially, we want to invite you to advocate for us. We want to invite you to connect us with other people. Brandon's already hooked me up with like six or seven names, and he's still going, but he's like, talk to this person, talk to this person, and just let them know that we're going to call them. Give us their numbers, I mean, if they're okay with that. But share our story and our ministry with others so that we can get the word about the Bible is out to people who might want to commit to be able to pray and give as well. So like Desi said in closing here, the most exciting thing for us and what really was like the thing that pushed me over the edge was the thing our recruiter told us, and we've learned more about since, that it is entirely possible in our lifetime that these 1,600 projects could start and even be finished. That the work of Bible translation could not be done in the sense that every language has a perfect translation, but could be done in the sense that every language and every people group that needs the scriptures could have them in their heart language, and they could be transformed, and they could have a living faith, a faith that is genuine and that emanates the Spirit of God as they encounter His Word in their language. So we invite you all to come alongside us and serve the Bible as peoples in one of these ways.